Hi, Mort.
Hi.
This is Alicia.
Okay, Alyssa.
I am dealing with an obstinate spouse, and my question is it doing more harm than good with my, I'm trying to not make the demanding statements, but I keep up the letting him know that I want him home and that I'm willing to fix things. Is that considered demanding to him?
How are you letting him know that?
By telling him. By continuing to say, you know, I want you home and
right.
that
I
we
got
can
it.
Get through this and those kinds of
yeah.
things.
Yeah, no, that's a mistake. First of all, let me approach this from a couple angles that I think will help everybody. If you have to say it, if you have to articulate it, if you have to tell your husband that you want to come home, want him to come home, and you want to try to work things out, then you're not doing enough. You're not employing the principles and practices I'm teaching. In other words, if you're following the advice in the program, you should never have to utter those words, because it should be so glaringly obvious to him that he gets it. He knows it should feel to both of you ridiculously redundant to utter those words, given the way you're treating him. So you either are being ridiculously redundant, or you're not doing enough. Because, and now I'm going to transition to a related point, very important. Look, the motto is say little, do much. Speak in the vocabulary of your actions. When marriages get to the point that you guys are at, words don't work. I'll explain a little bit more about why in a second, but for right now, words don't work. Marriages don't change because of anything you will say. Marriages change because of what you do. That's why when you got married, you said, I do. Because it's what you do that really determines the quality of your marriage, and in this case, the success or failure of your reconciliation. Marriages change because people change. I've been doing this a long time, and thank God I have had the opportunity to be a part of thousands and thousands of successful reconciliations. I can honestly tell you, I have never seen a husband and wife reconcile because of a conversation that they've had with each other. I've never seen a marriage saved because of anything anybody said. Marriages get saved because of what people do. You're never going to talk your way out of something that you behaved yourself into. And so don't try. And I know this is difficult advice to follow. When you're hearing it, it makes so much sense. But when you're actually in it, meaning in the marriage, in the attempt to reconcile, there's such a tremendous impulse, such a tendency to try to talk, to try to, like, solve it by talking. Come on, sit down. We're going to talk about you moving back in. We're going to talk about getting help. We're going to talk about the problems. People are so desperate for a solution now. And it just feels like the fastest way to get there is to open your mouth. And somehow, magically, I'm going to stumble across the words that's just going to make everything better. It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. I've never seen it happen. That's why, by the way, if you haven't already written that 15-page letter pleading to your spouse and begging and explaining, don't do it. I know most of you probably already have. It's one of the first impulses people have. They sit down at the computer and they pound out for hours this letter that they think is going to explain everything and somehow make it all better. Well, as you may have noticed, it didn't work, and it's not going to work. So if you haven't already written such a letter with all of those words, don't waste your time. Don't write it. Just parenthetically, by the way, there's only one letter that I think is worth writing, which is the How to Apologize Effectively letter, and the point of that letter is not to give the letter to your spouse, which is a big mistake that a lot of people make. The point of that letter, I'm just in a parenthesis here, is to prepare you for the discussion about apologizing effectively. Now, moving out of that parenthesis. So don't write that 10 or 15 page letter, because it doesn't work. It's not going to matter. What matters is what you do, not what you say. Your spouses have come to you with a decision, and it's not good, right? And in many cases, they have then supported that decision or justified that decision with some logic. Now, of course, the decision and the underlying logic was presented to you, probably, in words. It might have been as simple as, I want out because I don't love you anymore. So it looks to you like there's this logic that's supporting that decision. And therefore, since what you want is for them to change their mind, what you want is for them to make a different decision, your tendency is to attack the logic, right? I'm going to poke holes in that logic. This is particularly seductive for people who are intelligent, who are articulate and persuasive, right? Because they're used to accomplishing things in their life, using the power of persuasion and logic and by articulating themselves. And so we're going to attack that logic, and I'm going to talk to my spouse, and I'm going to explain to them why how they're seeing it is wrong and how you can see it this way. And that may have been the case, but what about this? And it doesn't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because the decision is not supported by the logic. The decision came first, and the logic came later. The words, the logic, the explanation you're getting from your spouse, don't take it so seriously. It's just there to justify their position. What is really supporting the decision? Where did the decision come from? It came from their feelings, not logic. It didn't come from their mind. It came from their heart. In other words, the decision was really not a deliberate decision. It's not like your spouse was calculating, you know, gee, I think this year I don't want to be married anymore. That's what I figured out. I'm at that point in my life. I want a new chapter in my life. I want this and I want that. Yeah, you know what? That makes sense. What I have to do is leave my husband or leave my wife. That's not how it happened. I'll tell you how it happened. Over the years, you had certain experiences with your spouse. Encounters, patterns of behavior. Those experiences and those encounters, those patterns of behaviors resulted in them feeling something. And what they were feeling was not good. And that translated, that resulted in them deciding, I want out, I want to separate, I want to have an affair, whatever the case may be. You see, the feelings came first. Actually, what came first were the interactions, the experiences with each other. Then came, that produced the feelings, and the feelings produced the decision. Then, after the decision, now I've got to explain it. Now I've got to justify it. Now I have to present some logic that doesn't make me look like a fool and irresponsible. That's the last part in the line. And most of you have spent some time trying to attack that explanation, that logic. It's a waste of time. Because you could destroy the whole thing. In fact, sometimes the really intelligent, persuasive, articulate people, they obliterate the logic. I mean, they're so persuasive that by the time they're done with their spouse, their explanation makes absolutely no sense. But as you may have experienced, it didn't change the decision at all. Because the decision has nothing to do with the logic. the decision has to do with the underlying feelings, which emanated from the experiences and the encounters you've had with each other. And that's why, now I'm coming full circle, that's why it's so important to say little and do much. Because when you speak, when you talk to your spouse about the marriage, the divorce, the separation, the other man, the other woman, all the problems, where does talking occur? Talking occurs in our head. It's an intellectual experience. It's a logical experience. It's a persuasive experience. It's the experience in the last line, the last part, after the decision where I explain, there's the logic and the explanation. It's an experience that's going on there. That space, that domain, that place for your spouse, that's just a place of conflict. That's not a place of change. It's not a place of transformation. It's not a place where anything productive is going to occur. Where did it all start? It starts with the experiences and the encounters. That produces the feelings, if you're writing this down. Then the third is the decision, and the last is the logic. And most of you have tried to spend so much time dealing with the last step. You could win there, and you'll accomplish nothing. So why have I been advising you all these weeks, and I will continue to, in everything I say, say little, do much. Speak in the vocabulary of your actions. All of my advice in the whole program, every word out of my mouth, every principle, every practice, have you noticed it rarely is say this or say that. It's always do this, do that. Because I'm taking you back to that first module, that first step, the interactions and the experiences. And I'm trying to give you guidance to create new interactions and experiences. And if you do that, those new interactions and experiences, they don't get processed in the head. They get processed in the heart. When we create interactions, our spouse feels something. And those new feelings is what ends up dislodging the decision. And then, after you dislodge the decision, it's amazing how your spouse then will spend time and energy trying to come up with a new explanation. They'll come up with their own explanations. They'll come up with their own argument about why they changed their mind, but only after they change their mind. And you'll change their mind not by convincing them of anything, but instead by creating new experiences that give them new feelings which produce that new decision. One more very important related point. Notice that your spouse, any human being for that matter, cannot and does not choose their feelings. We don't choose feelings. Feelings are natural. They're impulsive. They're spontaneous. And so, what your spouse feels about you in the marriage when you create these experiences is not up to them. It's up to you. Think of it like this. Did your spouse decide to fall out of love with you? Nobody decides to get divorced. Nobody is sitting back in a happy marriage and says to themselves, I'm 37 years old. I've got two kids. You know, I think I'm going to betray my wife or my husband, split up all my assets, move into a different home, only see my kids on Sunday, and enter a new phase of my life with all the complications of a blended family. Nobody makes such a stupid, ridiculous decision. What happened was the experiences in your marriage led to them feeling things that were negative. They didn't decide to feel that negativity. They just did. And so, too, if you create new experiences, they don't have to decide to feel differently. They just will if you do a good job creating those experiences. And by the way, sorry, I can't resist. See, there's so much here. It's all interconnected. You know, as much as I try to present all of this in a linear, logical, step-by-step way, the fact of the matter is that it develops as much like a photograph, well, like a photograph used to develop. I think we're all old enough that we remember seeing a photograph develop, right? When it used to, you know, a little bit would come in over here and a little bit over there and a little bit here and a little bit there until finally, whew, there it all is. You know, you see the whole thing. And I think that's sometimes what I experience and hopefully what you're experiencing too when I start to answer these questions, because everything is all interconnected. You know, and to some extent, I think you can't really even understand what I talked about on the very first teleconference until you get to the very end of the program and you kind of see it in the context of all the other principles and practices. Anyway, remember we talked about how things get worse before they get better. And we talked about how your spouse's responses and reactions are not necessarily a good indication of how you're doing. In fact, very often they are a counterindicator to how you're doing, right? Why is that the case? Because when you're succeeding to create those experiences that result in them feeling something new, feeling something different, feeling something good, if you're dealing with an obstinate spouse that's already decided that they want out, they're not going to let you know that when you gave them or sent them that gift that it tickled their soul. That doesn't mean that it didn't tickle their soul. That doesn't mean that they didn't feel something, because, again, they can't choose what to feel. You created a certain experience, and they're feeling whatever it is that they're feeling. Now, after they feel it, they can choose how to respond. They can choose to ignore it and not express appreciation. They can choose to tell you, don't do that anymore, I didn't like it, even though they really smiled and it tickled their soul. They can choose to do that. But in the long run, the choice that they make will be a function of the underlying feelings. It won't be a function of commitments they've made to previous decisions. And so that's why it's so important to not take your cue from an obstinate spouse, because very often they will intentionally try to misdirect you. But remember, they can't choose what to feel. What they feel is spontaneous. In a sense, you're really choosing it by choosing how to orchestrate those experiences.